I guess it's fair to say I'm a pretty high-stress guy because I worry about absolutely everything, including this very ad that I'm reading right now, and whether or not you're going to believe me and go out and buy this amazing product. But there's a company that ships federally legal THC right to your doorstep, and man, they are discreet. And yes, I'm talking about Mood.com. And among their gummies, two of them are my favorite. Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies does exactly that. When you're up and you're tossing and turning at night, you take a Sleepy Time gummy, boom, you are out cold. And then next, COE, Carm, sorry, but it's true. Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies, they help in the bedroom. They help a lot. But if you're not into gummies, there are other options. You've got flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and yes, even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. And best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
After weeks of speculation and scrutiny and some media reports suggesting otherwise, Sheriff Chris Nanos now publicly saying that all family members of Nancy Guthrie have been cleared as suspects, including spouses. Seismic shift in a case that began the night of January 31st into the early morning hours of February 1st when Nancy Guthrie vanished from her Tucson home. And now 3 weeks later, the question is still being asked, where is she? There is a male DNA profile under review. Some more demand emails, including one today, surveillance of that masked figure in front of the Nest camera. No identified suspects or persons of interest. The investigation now pivoting to a new question, maybe an old question. Who is responsible? And does this clearing a family mean that authorities are zeroing in?
Welcome to the global phenomenon, Surviving the Survivor, where we bring you the best guests in all of true crime. Here's your host, Emmy Award-winning journalist, Joel Waldman.
What's up, SDS Nation? Welcome to Surviving the Survivor. Don't call it a show. Don't call it a podcast. It is a global phenomenon with more than 50 countries represented inside the best chat in all of YouTube. And as you know, we bring you the best guests in all of true crime. And tonight, we're taking a step back here in time, back to the 31st of January and the 1st, to try to piece some of this together. When Nancy Guthrie disappeared from her home in the Catalina foothills, a beautiful section of Tucson, Arizona. As I said, in the days since, we've seen searches, we've seen SWAT breaches, we've seen surveillance images, ransom communications, forensic breakthroughs, intense public attention the whole way through. And now perhaps the biggest development yet, at least Sheriff Chris Nanos of the Pima County Sheriff's Department, although we have not heard this from the FBI directly, but he is saying family, including spouses, have been cleared. Here to help us break this down, coming back for a second time, which is good news for us. I'm glad to have him. Michael Alcazar, retired NYPD detective and former hostage negotiator. And just so happens, we've got his counterpart, Greg Giovanni, retired NYPD detective and former hostage negotiator. It sounds like I'm saying the same thing, but they are two different people, both serving the NYPD. And last but not least, Logan Clark, who some say looks like Professor Clouseau from the Pink Panther, the private eye from California. Welcome to all of you guys. We have been at this, everybody. This is now the third week. I believe it is day 16, if I'm correct, and correct me if I'm wrong about that, but I've literally lost track. Let me just jump right to this statement, and then let's break this down. This is interesting to me for a variety of reasons. This is a statement from the Pima County Sheriff's Department, and I quote for those listening: to be clear, the Guthrie family, to include all siblings and spouses, has been cleared as possible suspects in this case. The family has been nothing but cooperative and gracious and are victims in this case. To suggest otherwise is not only wrong, it is cruel. The Guthrie family are victims, plain and simple. Please, I'm begging you, the media, to honor your profession and report with some sense of compassion and professionalism. Matt Finn here, new, just in from Matt Finn, Fox News. I just asked Sheriff Nanos if DNA helped clear the Guthrie family from being suspects. He says, not going there. They are victims, and I will not stand quiet when they are re-victimized. It's not just my duty. It is every cop's duty to stand up and be the voice for victims. Mike Alcaraz, let's start right with you. In order to say they are cleared, does that suggest that they know who they are looking for? Because what I've learned from you guys over the last couple of years doing this show, can't clear anyone till you have a suspect.
So, Joe, you Alcarazed me.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry. Alcazar, I'm sorry. Keep doing that.
I wish I had his money. Everyone's been Alcarazing me as of late. I'm sorry, man.
I'm sorry. It's,
you're not the only one. No worries.
Yeah, sorry.
We don't even know who the DNA comes back to, right? They send it to the lab. I think it's a little bit premature for him to say that. You know, they cleared the family, that they're not suspects. How do we know? How do we know who the bad guy is? What if the bad guy had some kind of a relationship, you know, with somebody in the family? So I think it's a little bit irresponsible. I don't know if he's getting pressure. Maybe he's afraid of getting sued, you know, because he was the first one to release information that the brother-in-law was the one that dropped off Nancy at the house, and then he changed it to a family member. So I'm thinking that he's just CYA, but I think you can't completely say that no one's a suspect without even the evidence processed yet.
Yeah, and they're still waiting on that DNA. Someone here, the 12th juror, I'm not trusting this sheriff at all, followed by Gia and Peep here, if I'm right, Gina and Peep, sending wrong message again. This case is a mess. Let's work our way down to Greg Giovanni here. I mean, Greg, do you agree with your one-time colleague, Mike Alcazar, whose name I will try to get correct, but do you agree with him that they're sort of, forgive the pun, but jumping the gun here, unless they know who they're looking for right now, and they're just not telling us that?
Well, right now, maybe they don't have enough, maybe. I mean, you could always go back and accuse somebody if you have more evidence, okay? Right now, maybe they're just putting it on hold. Maybe they're looking at something else. But you could always go back. It's not a problem. Just like when you investigate a case, you close it out for now because you don't have any more leads. But then you could reopen that case next month if somebody calls you up and says, hey, this is what we got something else going on here. Then you reopen the investigation. So they could always reopen that part of that investigation if need be. And maybe they got something else. I mean, they haven't come out with a lot of information for us. Okay. They got this DNA glove, which they're waiting on the results, which might come back to just a number. Okay, it's not necessarily going to come back to a hit. And if that's the case, you know, we're going to have to wait for that number to come back to pop one day. If the guy's arrested or submits his DNA for whatever reason, that's kind of what they're hoping for, I think, right now. They're hoping that's going to come back to somebody, which I hope it does. And in the meantime, what are we doing? Where is this woman? I'm kind of thinking that whoever these kidnappers are, they didn't get their money, and maybe she's not alive anymore, and they're just going to get out of town and not tell us where the body is.
I think time is going to tell that. Hello from Malta, which is exactly why I say we're a global phenomenon and not just a show. The sheriff, something else. Logan Clark, someone just had a comment. Wouldn't the FBI be the ones telling us this? And it seems like we still, you know, 15, 16 days in, certainly the third week in, it seems like we still don't, at least the public doesn't really know who's in charge. And according to some reporters who have spoken to law enforcement on the ground, they don't either. I mean, that seems to be a huge problem, Logan. Oh, I think you're muted, Logan. Are you? No. But you're not. We're not hearing you. I'm going to bounce you out, and I'll bring you back in. You might have to bounce out and come right back in. Mike, that that seems to be a real issue. Someone said, hey, wouldn't the FBI put this out? Your response to that? And it seems like there's no real clarity on who's in charge here. I mean, if it was no disrespect to Tucson, but if it was the NYPD, I think you'd know. I think it'd be the NYPD and the FBI would be kind of backseating it. But here, we just don't know.
Yeah, we've heard that it's, I heard it was the FBI in charge, and then the next day I heard it was back to Pima County. I think the sheriff, you know, he should use his PIO to do these pressers, because, you know, time has shown us that he's not very good at doing these pressers, right? He sometimes very often doesn't have the answers to the questions, and he's often said he doesn't know when the press asks some questions. So, you know, I've heard that there was a little bit of confusion who's in charge. And, you know, I don't know if you discussed this before, but there seems to be a little bit of history between the Pima County Sheriff and the FBI. There's a little bit of animosity there.
Yeah, there is. As a matter of fact, the COE is trying to pull it up, but Brian Enton did an interview, I think, with a retired sergeant who can speak a little more freely. He spoke to him today, and this guy absolutely just blasted Sheriff Nanos. And I personally have not heard it yet, but apparently it's a fantastic interview. Logan, can you hear me? We can't hear you. I'm not sure why, so I'm going to bounce you out. It's probably StreamYard. The COE will try to help you here. It is just the three of us once again. Greg Giovanni, we're getting some more information from Brian Enton. Stuff seems to break at this late hour, 7 p.m. on the East, 7:11 Eastern time. But he is reporting as of 6 minutes ago that FBI agents have now been to several gun stores in Tucson with a list of 40 people and their photos, looking to see if any of them were in the store or purchased a weapon. The obvious interesting thing to underscore there, 40 people. What does that tell you with your experience?
Well, you know, I think they're just chasing every lead that they can go on right now. So, you know, I guess they're thinking that this guy on the video at the doorbell camera, mm-hmm. with that gun that he had in that crazy holster, that maybe he went and bought a gun recently. Okay. Just like they think that he bought that backpack in Walmart recently. I mean, he could have had that backpack for a year, or it could be, you know, somebody else's backpack, or, you know, but you got to chase down something. Okay. Yeah, the guy has a gun. Maybe he bought a gun. So you got to get rid of that. You know, you got to investigate it. And if it doesn't go anywhere, then you go somewhere else. So there's so many leads and so many tips. I can't imagine the tip log that's going on right now. NYPD, when you have a big case, we open up a big log and we got a detective assigned to those tips, and they're just writing down, you know, information, and that all has to be, you know, followed up. We even followed up, and Mike can tell you, I mean, I worked the Kimes case back in 98, I think it was, okay? And we were getting tips from psychics because we didn't know where the body was. And we would take those tips, and we would follow up on them. We followed up on everything. So I can't imagine. They must have, you know, hundreds, maybe more, maybe thousands of tips right now that people are following up. And that's, and you know, this checking out the gun, checking out the backpack, that's all part of it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff where they should have a couple of hundred guys working on this, you know?
Yeah, there's something like 18,000 tips that came in right after they released the Nest Cam, and then it's like somewhere between, they said, 4,000 and 6,000 tips a day.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's a lot. But Logan, I think I heard you there. I think we have you. I just wanted to get your response, Logan, to this notion that the sheriff is clearing all family members. I mean, in your opinion, would they have to have someone that they're eyeing in order to say that? Because how do you clear somebody?
Well, yeah. And like you said, you can't clear them. You know, if you don't have somebody that you believe did it, you can't clear them. I think I agree. That it might have been more cover your butt, and being afraid of lawsuits. There's been so much stuff since the sheriff first said something about the brother-in-law. There's just been so much stuff on the internet, you know, from they confessed to they've been arrested, that they're just getting hounded. So I can see the sheriff, the way he handled things so far, I can definitely see him coming out and saying, you know, the family's all been cleared. Maybe he gave him a lie detector test and he feels, you know, that cleared him, even though people can beat a lie detector test. The glove thing, what I'm wondering now, the glove appears to have been probably thrown from a car. When you take, he had a couple of gloves on. The glove we're worried about is the glove that was touching his skin. That's the one that you want. When you pull your glove off, like a rubber glove like that, you pull it off, it comes inside out when you pull that glove off. And if he threw that and it was sitting with inside out with the sun on it and whatever else in the desert, that could really complicate getting DNA. If it's against his skin and it came off, not like a surgical glove, you know, surgical glove's going to go inside out. But if it was protected on the inside, maybe there's a chance that they can get DNA. The phone is if they can find someone, a suspect or a subject who's got a phone and they run that phone and it comes back to the phone in that guy that approached the door. If it comes back to that cell phone, which they did a massive pull off of the towers, then they really got something. But I mean, you got to find the person. It's just like you've got to find the DNA. It's great to have DNA. You know, you got two sets of DNA. Yeah, they match each other. But then you got to match that to a pool somewhere that tells you who this guy is. And if these guys are amateurs, which I sort of thought from the very beginning, they're smart and stupid and senses. They got away with it. I still say somebody close to the family or somebody that knew the family. I'm not saying a relative. It could have been two kidnappings I can think of were workers that worked around the house doing something, or carpenters and stuff. It could be anything like that. It'd be an Uber driver that delivered five times. And they told somebody, and these guys did the kidnapping. And that's why, I mean, they're idiots that they didn't have proof of life. You don't do a kidnapping and ask for money and then not be prepared to show proof of life. Something happened. Something went wrong. The typical line, nobody was supposed to get hurt, comes to mind.
Yeah. This is a good question. Logan was getting into some of this. Don't we want, and I'll go backwards here to Greg, back around the clock here. Don't we want the DNA from the outside of the glove to compare to Nancy? I mean, whoever this was in front of the Nest camera apparently had several pairs of gloves on. So I don't even know if we have a way to know if it was the outer glove, a middle glove. I'm just, to be honest, Greg, I'm a little lost in general about this glove found almost 2 miles away. But it seems like they at least are implying that they've got something there, but I'm confused to begin with. Do you have a little more clarity?
Well, I wouldn't be so sure about any DNA that's on the outside of that globe because, like, you know, because of the weather and the time that has gone by. Inside of that glove, you know, you might get hair samples, you may get some skin cells. Yeah, you may get some moisture, but they're turned inside. I don't know if they were turned inside out when they took that glove off. If they weren't, then you might get something in there. And apparently, I think they do have something, right? They sent it. Do we have a result on that yet? No.
So we do have some news on that. So Libby DCO, if you want to put your thing back up, that was what I was about to refer to. But
they said that they matched the DNA with that glove with the DNA that was either found inside the house or outside the house. They had DNA, and several times the authorities have said the DNA matched from that glove to the DNA in the house. Those all two right. matched. So they know the glove came from the same person that was inside that house.
Okay, that's
great. And now they got to match it to somebody. And if somebody, let's say a carpenter was working there and he told them, you know, this is a good idea, blah, blah, blah. you wouldn't be getting professionals. Okay. So you're going to get kind of half-assed kidnappers, which would explain the multiple mistakes that they've made in this whole.
I agree.
Yeah, Greg, pick that up with what Logan just shared.
Yeah, I was thinking about this too. And I said, you know, maybe it's a groundskeeper, a landscaper, somebody working around the house. And, you know, he sees that there's an older woman there, one old woman, okay, knows what kind of family she comes from. And it's an easy hit. Maybe he tells somebody, maybe he does it himself. But that's what I think. Look, we had cases in the detective squad, home with like a lot of home care people and ripping off, you know, these victims' checks, check cases and stuff like that, because they have access to the inside of the home. So a lot of these people working around the house, I'm sure they saw this woman who's elderly. It's an easy hit. She lives alone. No, she comes from money, but they're amateurs, okay? Amateurs. They took this woman, all right, in their possession. They're responsible for her, okay, when they took her, for her welfare, responsible for her welfare, all right? And they couldn't produce, like just one thing to show some proof that she's alive and just kept on demanding money. Well, it went too long, and now she's, most likely, you know, I'm not going to say she is, because she might still be alive. Who knows? But everybody's kind of leaning toward if she's dead. Okay. Well, now they caused it, and they're gonna now they don't have any bargaining chip. They got to get
well, except for the body.
Except for
the body back. They would the family would want the body back. That's the last trick they could pull is if you want to know where the body is, give me X amount. Maybe that's the guy with the one coin.
Yeah. Luckily we haven't got to that point yet. But let me just pivot to Mike real quick, who's been patient. And Mike, back to this glove, this mysterious glove. So Libby Dean with News Nation reported the DNA from the glove. You're seeing it right here. The DNA from the glove of Nancy Guthrie is still undergoing quality control in the sheriff's private lab in Florida after being sent from Tucson on February 12th. Today is the 16th, so that's 4 days ago. It is expected to be inputted into FBI CODIS in the near future, an FBI official tells me. And then Brian Enton hopped on this as of less than an hour ago, and said it has still not been entered in CODIS. For those who are not familiar with the DNA process and testing, I mean, is this a long time since February 12th and they're specifically using their own lab in Florida? Are they just taking their sweet, you know what time?
Yeah, it seems to be taking a long time. I've seen evidence process, you know, especially a high profile case, they can do it in 24 hours, maybe even less. So it's perturbing why they haven't uploaded it to CODIS yet. Because that's what everybody's waiting for, to see if the DNA that they recovered matches anybody in CODIS. Now, you get into CODIS if you were arrested, if you were convicted, right? And that's a possibility. And if this person, perhaps me and Greg talked about this, it's not from the country, he may have never been collared in the U.S., he might not be in that database. So that's another possibility.
Yeah, so... there's just so much confusion, and Logan, I appreciate you kind of trying to help out, sort out with that glove. I guess the glove could be absolutely key to all this. Matt Finn, for those who are curious, has a kind of a more extended interview of Fox News with Sheriff Nano. So I'll get into that in a minute. But here we go again. Greg Yovani, I mean, you and Mike are the retired hostage negotiators. TMZ. Getting into the story again today, saying that they received multiple emails tied to the case, including escalating demands. And they got one today, basically raising another level of extortion that you don't believe me. And whoever this is indicating that they have seen Nancy Guthrie south of the border. But this guy appears by all counts to be a knucklehead who's just trying to involve himself here. I mean, I'm annoyed at this point with TMZ. Just let police handle it. Don't go public with it anymore. We get that you're getting the information. Your thoughts on this, including, you know, the media angle that the Harvey Levin's blasting this out, but also that this guy is reportedly telling TMZ, you know, he says that he committed some sort of burglary or robbery, so he has a criminal past, and that's why he's afraid to go to police, so that's why he's going to TMZ, yada, yada. He has a whole story, Greg. What do you make of it?
You know something? If this guy would do the right thing, if he's got information and he comes forward with it, what's the big deal? He's doing a good thing. Nobody's going to care about his background. If he's going to get this woman back and find the bad guys, if he has that ability, then let's go. Who is this guy?
Yeah, that's the New York right there. And Greg, who is this guy? I'm with you, Greg Giovanni. But Mike, jump on that if you don't mind piggybacking that. I mean, he makes a good point, Greg does. If this guy says he saw Nancy Guthrie, which is, I think, what he's claiming, south of the border, and that he's a bad one-time bad guy, yeah, I mean, the world would cheer this guy on if he actually gave up the information, but he's still asking for money and he's up in the ante. But how do you rule this guy out, Mike, that he's not telling you the truth, even though he seems like a total nut job?
I'm sure the FBI is conducting their own investigation on the TMZ tips. And like, I agree with Greg, this guy sounds like a scammer because, yeah, just come forward with the information. I think what he wants is he just wants the Bitcoin and he wants to disappear without any proof. Because if he goes through the tip line, right, if you're going to collect the ward, we're going to need a prosecution. That's usually how the Crime Stopper tips work. When your tip is viable and this person that you gave us information on gets prosecuted, that's how you collect the money. So this guy's trying to do the shortcut. Give me the Bitcoin. Maybe he'll give the information. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's not. And then he's in the wind. So he's looking for a shortcut.
Yeah. Logan, Logan.
I've gotten emails. I got a long email from a guy a couple of days ago. And as everybody gets, every private eye gets 5150s emails. I got another one today from the same guy. And I'm not going to go into talking about him or anything else, but he's afraid of retribution. That's why he said he wants to go through me. He, for some reason, feels that there's a great danger of retribution to him. It's like some gang or Mexican mafia or something's involved in this. They're a lot smarter than this. Mexican mafia is a lot smarter than me.
And Logan, I mean, the other thing with the cartel or the Mexican mafia is everyone I've talked to who knows anything about anything says that they just don't want the heat. They would never do this because they want to stay quiet. They don't want the world asking questions. You agree with that?
Yes. And it's very quiet. I've done kidnap rescues in Mexico on multiple occasions. It's a business down there. They ask for ridiculous amounts of money. You can get them down from $2 million sometimes to $50,000. It's a business to them. They don't want any publicity. The family doesn't want any publicity because as soon as the people find out somebody from this family was kidnapped and they paid for it and a ransom and got the family member back, yay, celebrate. Other guys are going to go, that's who I'm going to kidnap next because they pay.
Yeah. It's getting harder and harder to make sense of this. Going back to Matt Finn for a minute of Fox News, he just spoke again to Sheriff Chris Nanos. Chris Nanos, I read most of what he said, and this is why he is saying publicly that the family has been cleared. But something else he says is people's lives go on and they continue. It doesn't just stop because you have a horrible crime in front of you. Their lives go on and they have grieving to do and things they have to somehow get beyond. Making accusations doesn't help that. That's just cruel. Look, if they're guilty, we'll find that. But to say that they're completely have always been totally cooperative with us and to this day, they still are. I mean, Mike, this guy in that statement right there, basically just he says literally, look, if they're guilty, we'll find that. So he's clearing them and also saying they could be guilty. I mean, it's just bad messaging as a former media guy and bad optics. You just look like a buffoon, and you haven't heard a word from the FBI. I mean, does this guy Nanos or Nanos need to just stop talking, period, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. He's got a PIO that could do the presser. He doesn't come off as like a good investigator. I think Greg will attest to this. You know, a lot of the chiefs and sheriffs, the people, the executives, these people don't come from an investigative background. You know, they take exams, they get, discretionary promotions. Next thing you know, they're the chief or the sheriff, but they've never done it. Right. And this guy, to me, I don't know if he does, but he definitely comes off as he doesn't know what he's doing. I hope, you know, his presence, what he's saying, is not indicative of the investigative prowess of the Pima County Sheriff's Office. I hope that's not the case, because if we just go by this guy looks like he reminds me of like Leslie Nielsen from Police Squad. He's just a giant goofball. So, you know.
The distance from Nancy's home to the border is roughly 60 miles. That's roughly how far Tucson is. It's an hour, and it's a quick trip on an open road. You're looking at her house there. Now, Greg, something. So Dr. G, he's a well-known body language and behavior expert. He did under the video tab, if you guys want to watch. He broke down this whole Nest Cam video. But he reached out to me today, and he put out his own new video, which you should check out on his channel. But something I haven't heard anyone say, he says that the backpack, he looked at this extensively. He said that the backpack is actually open because it's so stuffed that it's open. And he believes what's in there is a reflective tarp. Dr. G is usually on point. I guess no details too small for the police or authorities investigating, but what would you make of that if, in fact, it is open and it appears to be a reflective tarp in there? Does that give you any additional information that you would be interested in?
I guess it's fair to say I'm a pretty high-stress guy because I worry about absolutely everything, including this very ad that I'm reading right now, and whether or not you're going to believe me and go out and buy this amazing product. But there's a company that ships federally legal THC right to your doorstep. And man, they are discreet. And yes, I'm talking about mood.com. And among their gummies, two of them are my favorite. Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies does exactly that. When you're up and you're tossing and turning at night, you take a Sleepy Time gummy, boom, you are out cold. And then next, COE, Carm, sorry, but it's true. Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies, they help in the bedroom. They help a lot. But if you're not into gummies, there are other options. You've got flour, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and yes, even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. And best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
Well, a tarp is a tarp, reflective or not reflective. I'm wondering why they're using it. Why they would use it? I mean, that backpack is pretty stuffed. So I have tarps, you know, and depending on the size of the tarp, it depends on how how much you're putting in that bag. You could fold it up, and the bag's going to be thick if you get like a big one. But I don't know why would, unless you're going to wrap somebody up in it. I mean, I don't know what the tarp is for. I'm thinking I'm putting myself in their shoes. Mm-hmm. Like if I took her, okay?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Maybe, you know, I put her in the car and wrap her up in the tarp, and at least nobody would see a body. They would just see like a big, you know, like a moving something, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something like that. That's right off the top of my head, like right now. That's what I'm, okay? That's because I put myself in their position. Like what would I use that tarp for, you know? To hide something, maybe. But reflective?
But Greg, that goes, and I'll get Mike's take on this too. I agree with you 100% about covering or concealing a body. But apparently, according now, this goes back to Sheriff Nanos, is that he came out yesterday and said, this is a burglary gone bad. I can't tell you how many messages I got saying there's no way this is a burglary gone bad, because who comes with a backpack full like that, especially if you got a tarp to potentially hide a body, which brings me back full circle. Does this guy just need to stop talking? Because, I mean, Greg, how do we know? How do you think they know that this is a burglary gone bad with this guy?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I've investigated a lot of burglaries in Manhattan. Okay, burglars aren't going in there to hurt anybody. They're going in to sneak in and get out. Okay, burglary gone bad with an elderly woman like this. Maybe if it was, you know, oh, the husband's there and the son, and now they're putting up a fight. You know what I mean? Burglary gone bad. I don't know. If it was only her living there, I'm sure they could, just overcome her, okay? And then continue to burglarize the house. Why take the body?
Yeah, it does.
Doing a burglary.
Yeah, it just doesn't. I agree with you 100%. It doesn't make sense. But Crime Junkie to Logan, I'll get back to Mike in a second. Funny thing is, Mike actually wrote his last name. He didn't write his last name. This time he wrote his last name, and I still butchered it. And I even tweeted at him that I butchered it, and I did it again. So eventually I'll get it right. But Crime Junkie 007 here. Why waste resources like the helicopter with the sniff detector? So they've got this helicopter sniffing out the pacemaker, Logan, and not using drones. I mean, I know nothing about this, sniff detector from the helicopter. Have you ever heard of that being used or how effective that is, Logan?
No, not from a helicopter. I've often wondered about the pacemaker, whether or not I know it gives signals. It gives signals off, and it's connected to the watch, which they left in the house. But I've often wondered the same thing about, is there a way to trace that pacemaker? But if there was, you'd think that she'd be back already, that they would have found her already. Mm. I think the helicopter they use pretty much in everything when they're looking for somebody like this. And the area is so spread out that I can see them using a helicopter, just seeing what's going on.
Yeah. Mike, Mike, are you familiar with that sniffer off the helicopter at all? You guys use that in the NYPD?
I've never heard of it.
Never heard of it. Yeah. So let's just go back to this for a minute. Every guy I talk to you who's like you in law enforcement is basically saying this dude at the nest in front of the nest camera is a dope, a dunce, unprofessional. Why is he still out, not caught at this point with the world looking for him? What do you think?
It's because Nanos is in charge.
I like that answer. But you do have a lot of people looking for him, right? I mean, I know you're saying that like half. I know you're saying it half sarcastically, but I mean, what's going on here?
I think there was a bit of a delay in the investigation until the FBI helped take over, and then they had agents over there who were probably more proficient and processing crimes. And once they did that, we saw that once they got the digital evidence, the video, then it started rolling. Then miraculously they found this glove, right? So could it be, could this guy be the first guy at the door? And then he's just, the boob, and he's going to try to cover it up with a bush. And then there's other people that went around the building, right? This theory is that it might be more than one person. Maybe this is the throwaway guy. Go in there, try to cover up that video while we're doing something else. Right. And in fact, it did take Nancy. It would make more sense that more than one person took her. So that's another working theory that I've entertained. Yeah.
And by the way, this is true. Chris Nanos did. And I'm glad you put this in here, Katie. He did rebut the story, saying that it didn't come from his office, that it was a botched robbery, but it was definitely out there. And then here's an interesting comment here. I used to develop implantable pacemakers. Wow. The case is made of titanium, so it'd be cool if they could sniff out titanium. Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's dogs that sniff out technology, but I've never heard of helicopters, right?
Yeah. Our canine units are trained to detect all kinds of scents. I don't know if they can detect titanium on the skin, but we have cadaver dogs with that possibility. Also with the pacemaker, I thought that not only is that linked to the phone, I believe that sometimes those things, those pacemakers could be linked to like medical professionals, like the doctor. Like I have a friend, he doesn't have a pacemaker, but he has something that's monitoring his heart and he gets it on his phone. And if something is off, his doctor gets it and calls him. So that's another possibility.
Yeah. My brother-in-law is a cardiologist. I should have asked him. I'll get him on as a guest. Yeah. Look at this from Greg. This is your world here. And then we'll get back to Logan. It's a friend of ours, Jay, who's a dentist, periodontist or a pediatric dentist. One of those. You get what I'm saying, Jay. Savannah's video appeals to the person's conscience. The video we saw last night from Savannah Guthrie, which assumes empathy. You know, she's talking about doing the right thing and it's not too late, Greg. Do experts like you, a hostage negotiator, think that that kind of messaging helps if the offender doesn't have normal empathy or remorse? What if you're dealing with a sociopath, Greg Giovanni? How do you negotiate with that kind of a person?
Those kind of people don't care. And you could tell that by negotiating with them and talking to them. You can understand it. And you have to go around different ways to try to get them to understand. But someone was talking about this earlier. I know I heard it somewhere. You can't. These people don't care. I mean, they it doesn't bother them. How do you change their mind? And when we negotiate, we constantly hit on it for hours. Don't you feel bad? This could happen. Blah blah blah. You try to put that in there. But something like this, if you're talking about something going on, upstairs, I don't know if you're going to get through. I mean, we try, and maybe we just got to go try a different route and say, try something else and listen to what they got to say and then try to work around them. But that's difficult. I really got to tell you, that's why time is like on our sides a lot with negotiators. You just got to, it takes hours sometimes to convince someone,
What's your longest negotiation?
I was on a hostage job that went for 50 hours.
Oh my!
Okay, goodness. So we started on the weekend at like 2 o'clock, and I negotiated for about 3 hours. But we went through like 100 negotiators. Pulled me off, they put another guy on, and he kept on talking. When I was off for the next 2 days, I remember after that I came back to work. And it was still going on. I said, they want me to go back over there? Oh, no, it's coming to an end. It's coming to an end. But that was a 50-hour job out in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Wow. Mike, were you part of that? Were you one of the guys rotated in on that? What's your longest one?
I wasn't. Mine haven't been that long. But just like Greg, I remember one time I was teaching in college. I was in John Jay, and I got notified for a job, for an H&T job. And I said, I can't. It's in Brooklyn. I'm in Manhattan and I'm not on the clock. So I couldn't do it. And when I was finished with school, that's 3 hours later, I get on the subway. I come out. They called me and it's still going on, just like Greg said. So then I jumped in on it. So it definitely takes lots of time to negotiate. But when you're dealing with a psychopath, I just want to jump in what Greg said, right? These people are very narcissistic. So you could probably play to that part, right? Because these people, like Greg said, don't have feelings. They don't have emotions like us, right? They know the lyrics, but they can't hear the music, right? So they do their best to fake it. And, in the NYPD, me and Greg have interrogated so many people. You can just tell when something's off when you're talking to somebody that this guy is a psychopath. So you're going to have to, work with your partner and figure out another way to convince this guy to confess or to cooperate.
Wow. Speaking of narcissism, the COE, I had planned a trip a year ago. That is not an exaggeration. And we leave tomorrow. So you can guarantee this case will break tomorrow when I'm not here for the 1 week. And We've got Tim Jansen. If you know him from the show, he's on standby. He's excellent. He'll fill in on breaking news. And when we get to where we're going, I promised myself and the COE, the chief of everything, my wife, that I wouldn't do anything. But maybe I'll do something. I don't know. We're both limping to the finish line here, but expect news tomorrow since I'll be on a plane, speaking of narcissism. Meredith here, thank you for the super chat. No one's look, it's Mike. OMG, I love Mike. Everyone loves Mike. Even the it's from the cereal commercial, I think, goes all the way back. Mikey likes it. Why is no one talking about the business card stuck in the front door from Adult Protective Services financial division? There's this talk about this card that was once in that door, Logan. I don't know if you know anything about this. Your thoughts on that, if any?
I guess it's fair to say I'm a pretty high-stress guy because I worry about absolutely everything, including this very ad that I'm reading right now, and whether or not you're going to believe me and go out and buy this amazing product. But there's a company that ships federally legal THC right to your doorstep, and man, they are discreet. And yes, I'm talking about mood.com. And among their gummies, two of them are my favorite. Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies does exactly that. When you're up and you're tossing and turning at night, you take a Sleepy Time gummy, boom, you are out cold. And then next, COE, Carm, sorry, but it's true. Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies, they help in the bedroom. They help a lot. But if you're not into gummies, there are other options. You've got flour, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and yes, even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. And best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
That's the first I'm hearing about a card stuck in
there. Yeah, apparently there was a card there. I got it. Go ahead.
I think the reason that this is taking so long and nothing's really making sense goes back to the fact that these are amateurs. My agency does all kinds of things, whether it's bounty hunting or parental kidnappings or whatever. Anytime I'm searching for somebody, if they're professionals, they know what they're doing, or if it's a runaway from a camp, they planned it out. And there's certain things that make sense in almost all crimes and kidnappings and serial killers. There's patterns that you can follow. When you have amateurs, there's no pattern because they don't know what they're doing. Mm. They're literally taking it step by step. All right. And there's no question there was more than this one guy. There's one left-handed guy at the door. And I believe he was left-handed by looking at what he does. He covers the microphone with his right hand. And if you look at his left hand, he's trying the doorknob or messing with something underneath. He gets the flowers with his left hand. Anyway, one guy, if they were planning on kidnapping her, which obviously that happened, they're not going to, that long driveway and that street, that car wasn't waiting out there somewhere. Somebody had to be in that car to drive it up to him, to when they got her to the road. There had to be two, maybe three people involved in this thing. So, and if he got rid of all those clothes, if he bought all those clothes from Walmart, so that sounds to me like he went into Walmart and bought everything so that he can just buy it. It's all brand new. It's not from his closet. Nobody's going to recognize it. And he throws it away. That would be smart. Yeah, I don't know if these guys are that smart. But
by the way, I mean, just to add to that, Logan, there are reports out there that the FBI is working closely right now with Walmart because apparently the holster. I mean, give us a little color there. What would the FBI do? Are they just going through surveillance footage? Are they going through receipts right now? What are they doing? Because that's got to be so tedious, man. Logan, that's for you.
Oh. Sorry.
Walmart.
They would have the lower FBI guys going through that film. Looking at all of it, and Walmart can get it all together for them. They will sit there and look at hundreds of hours of information, trying to catch them, you know, buying the material and seeing what clothes he's in. But they've caught a lot of situations by going through Walmart footage when they buy duct tape and when they buy rope. It's a good way to catch them. But you just have probably 50 guys going through, men and women going through hundreds of hours of film. And that's just one aspect of it. Just like when they do these raids, they go to the raid and everybody gets all disappointed. They go there, they don't arrest anybody, they detain a couple of people, and then they leave. And then they go to another place and they do the same thing and then they leave. And people get all disappointed. Well, that was a false alarm. No, it doesn't mean it was a false alarm at all. They're gathering evidence and they're looking for that evidence to match something else, like taking the phones, see if it can match to that phone number, DNA from the house to see if it'll match the DNA inside Nancy's house. It's not a disappointment every time they leave. I guarantee you they're gathering evidence. And that's why it comes together real quickly all of a sudden when it happens. Comes together real quickly because they get it all and all of the dots all connect together.
Someone said that Logan, I know we're picking on him, sounds a little like Tom Brokaw, and I can hear it, but Tom Brokaw slurs his words more, even though the guy was a nightly news anchor, legend. By the way, RIP to Bobby Duvall, man, 95 years.
I knew Bobby. Yeah,
he left today. You knew him personally?
Yeah. Yeah, I was an actor years ago. I did Boys of Company C when they were doing Apocalypse. And Sid Fury, the director of our film, and Coppola did all kinds of stuff that didn't wind up in the movie. They used our helicopters, and we loaned helicopters back and forth, and Bobby was there. Bobby's favorite movie that he did was the one he met his wife. He went over and did Tango Assassin. And he met his wife, the girl that he danced with, he fell in love with and married. And he was super, super happy. He was a wonderful man.
Look at this. Best guests who also know Bobby Duvall. And Logan Clark, you're definitely like a show unto yourself. I'm going to do this with you one day. You're the most interesting man alive. Screw the whatever Dos Equis guy. Meredith in North Florida. Back to Mike here. This question has come up. And by the way, you can hear I'm getting a little run down. So please, if you have questions, tonight is your night before all hell breaks loose. Triple Q's for the guests, and I'll throw in a lot of questions. The show's for you. If you are not familiar with us and you're finding us through this, we do this Monday through Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Fridays is reserved for the youngest true crime podcaster in America, my mother at 86 years young. She's a child Holocaust survivor, and she busts my you-know-what constantly. And that's why the show is called Surviving the Survivor. She's also a licensed therapist, so she brings that perspective. But if you could hit the like and subscribe button and tell a friend, that's all we need. Mike, what if she's in Mexico? How will we go about finding her then? What if she's in Mexico, which is what the TMZ crackpot is alluding to? How would we go about? She asked the question twice. I like it.
I've never done an international case. I would imagine you'd have to work with Mexican authorities. I bet Logan can answer that better.
Let me give Greg a crack at that. Greg, I know you guys are far up in New York City, but any clue if she's sitting in some sort of quote unquote safe house or something in Mexico? How the hell are they going to find her?
Well, if it was a New York City case, right, with New York City detectives, we would work hand in hand with the FBI, okay? Some kind of terrorist task force or something like that. That's all I can think of. I mean, we have the capability, but and there would be a task force assigned to go there and investigate. You know, that's about it.
Yeah. You were making the money sign, Logan. Expound on this. Is that the only way? And how? How would you even know? I mean, how would you make the connection? How would you know that she's there? Wouldn't they want to give you a heads up? I mean,
I have people in, I've been doing this for 40 years. I have people in Mexico. I have ex-chiefs of police. I just recently had a case down there, and I called my guy in Mexico, and I said, this is the town that this happened in, and I need to get some information. I need to get information off of the police books. I need to know what is on that police book. And his comment to me was, and he's an ex-chief, he said, Logan, all of the police in that town are criminals. They're all crooked. They all take bribes. And there was a pause. And he said, but I have my guy, too, and he takes bribes in that town. So I said, okay, go and give him some incentive pay and get the information right off of the book, the police book, the information that comes in the police station. It takes money, it takes contacts, but I don't work with the police down there.
What kind of money are we talking about? I mean, what works? I guess it depends on the case, but for some, I mean,
if it's a small, depends on how big the case is. There was a shooting. The one that I was working on was a guy on a motorcycle came by, four people walked out of the restaurant and they shot one in particular. And that's the information I needed. And that cost me $5,000 to get that information off of the police book, because I needed the information that they got firsthand. I work with ex police people, and they're much more willing to work with me in incentives to find out the information. They still have the same contacts. There's a way to do it in Mexico. I've gotten dozens of people out of Mexico, out of jail in Mexico, fugitives out of Mexico, murderers out of Mexico. A few times I work with the police, but normally I don't. I get them myself, I use special forces guys and go and get them and take them out of the country. Then they're mine.
Wow. Interesting. We took a trip to Mexico City a couple of years ago, and one of my friends I thought he was joking, retired FBI HRT. He said, make sure you have an Apple AirTag in each of your kids' shoes and I'll come down and find them if anything happens. I was like, all right. Got him Apple AirTags, and I was like, this guy will come down, I guess, with machine guns and take care of business somehow. But downtown Annie, back to Mike, Mrs. Guthrie was targeted, Mike. Whoever hired the guy probably told him all devices would be disconnected, and during their mental chaos forgot to disable the doorbell camera. Announcing that the family was cleared is suspect in itself. I mean, there's so many theories here, Mike. What do you make of this one? They're never ending.
Absolutely. That was one of the working theories, that this was a targeted abduction. I know that what we would do is we would do a victimology. We would see any kind of history, any kind of domestic history, any kind of disputes relating to Nancy, to Savannah, to the brother, to the sister, any financial difficulties, anything that would provide us with a potential MO is what we, and I'm sure that's what dude is doing right now, right? That's why I think it's a little bit premature to rule out, Bergs and all this, because you're still working on it. You still don't know. Again, we're not privy to the information, the evidence that they have. Maybe they have strong evidence that eliminates a Berg gone bad already. But you rely on the evidence. You rely on the surveillance cameras. You rely on the witness interviews, right? And this is how this case is going to be solved. And most of all, we're going to rely heavily on the tips coming in from the community now, who's really invested in this case.
Yeah. Man, it's just fascinating because everyone's minds are working in triple time here. Greg, I mean, this is a possibility too. I mean, anything's a possibility. What if this was a hit? Would others still be excluded from being a suspect? I mean, Greg, in what world would someone put a hit out on an 84-year-old woman? I mean, if they had a beef with NBC or Savannah Guthrie or her husband or the million other things that people have hypothesized, wouldn't they have just gone to the source and taken out, God forbid, the person like Savannah instead of going to an 8? I mean, how does an 84-year-old woman fit into the calculus here in any way?
I guess it's fair to say I'm a pretty high-stress guy because I worry about absolutely everything, including this very ad that I'm reading right now, and whether or not you're going to believe me and go out and buy this amazing product. But there's a company that ships federally legal THC right to your doorstep, and man, they are discreet. And yes, I'm talking about Mood.com. And among their gummies, two of them are my favorites. Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies does exactly that. When you're up and you're tossing and turning at night, you take a Sleepy Time gummy,
boom, you are out cold. And then next, COE, Carm, sorry, but it's true. Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies, they help in the bedroom. They help a lot. But if you're not into gummies, there are other options. You've got flour, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and yes, even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. And best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
The only way that I could think of is, once again, they know who she is, then she comes from some money. And because of her age, she's an easy hit. They know she lives alone. They must, you know, they obviously followed, you know, her movements for a while. Okay. You know, where she goes, what time she comes home and all that stuff. And they finally picked that day to come and do what they had to do. Why? Listen, once again, they chose her for, I personally, they chose her because she comes from some kind of money. Okay.
And you go after the people that they love. You don't go after Savannah Guthrie. You go after someone that she loves dearly and will do anything.
And Logan, I mean, do you believe that this was a targeted hit and that she specifically picked because of what you're saying right now?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Wow. All right.
In foreign countries, you can go to the criminal. I keep real close to the criminal side, too. I've always said my entire life, I walked with one foot on the curb and one foot in the gutter, because I got to know the good guys and the bad guys. And I'll go sometimes to the bad guys and get information from them if they're not connected to the crime. And you can go to the bad guys, and the bad guys know what the other bad guys are doing. They really do.
Mike, what about this? I mean, we're going through all the what ifs here tonight, which is kind of where we're at right now. I think it was an error. I haven't heard anyone say this, to be honest, that I, at least on the show. A guy went to the wrong house, hence why he wasn't ready for the cameras. They should look at the houses close to Nancy if they had anything worth stealing. What if this guy literally just stepped in a pile of you-know-what, Mike, and just was like, oh, my God, what did I just do?
Yeah, it's a possibility. You know, we see, by the way, he walked up like he's not very professional, a little bit of a goofball, like I said. But, you know, they're going to figure it out by going through all, like, they're going through all the video surveillance that they can get from Nest cameras from the neighborhood. They're trying to establish like some kind of history. Has this guy been scoping out the neighborhood? Has he just been scoping out Nancy's house? They're looking for any patterns of normality, people that drive normally in the neighborhood, people that walk around that neighborhood, and they're looking for something that breaks the pattern. And I'm hoping they have something like that. I mean, they're keeping their cards close to their vest. I hope they've identified some people of interest, and maybe they have images. Like Greg will tell you, that's the first thing we do is canvas for surveillance video so we can get stills of the suspect. Maybe they have that already. Maybe that's why they're going to the gun store. Right. Maybe they have a couple of people that have identified to see if they've gone to the Walmart. Have they gone to the gun store?
Yeah. A couple of things that are bugging me that I want to just kind of dig down on a little bit. Again, if you guys have questions, we'll go like another 15 minutes here. If all hell breaks loose tonight, I'll try to get back here. I'm just thinking out loud here. Someone said, hey, be careful with your marriage. The reason everyone who's a network news correspondent is either divorced or an alcoholic or something else is because it takes a toll, just like being a detective does, I'm sure, at the NYPD or private investigating. So this is a bucket trip list. We're actually going out to Iceland, and I planned this a year ago. the sea glaciers and all sorts of things. So I'm super excited about it. And we're both limping again, as I said, to the finish line. With that said, I got a 5-hour layover tomorrow. So don't be surprised if you see me. They better arrest him in that 5-hour window, whoever this is. But by the way, I hate the cold, but I figure it'd be an adventure. So maybe I need to wear an air tag. The reason I brought that up, my head's all cloudy. The reason I brought that up is I thought this the people would be caught by now. But the only thing that I said yes to, because I've been asked to do a few things, I'm a diehard weird radio guy and an Art Bell fan, Coast to Coast. And George Norrie on Coast to Coast asked me to do Coast to Coast Wednesday night for 2 hours. And I'm going to do it from there in the early morning hours. So early morning our time. So I'll be on Coast to Coast Wednesday night, everybody. 1 a.m. It's actually Thursday morning, 1 a.m. So if you're wide awake at 1 a.m., check me out on Coast to Coast. Okay, so Mike, let's dig down on a couple of things here. The 40 photos we just heard about. So they're going, the FBI is apparently going to gun shops with 40 photos of people. I was just thinking about it while we were all talking. Why? I mean, that just seems like a huge number of people. Where are they even coming up with 40 photos of people to show at gun stores? Where do you think they're collecting that evidence or that material, investigative material, to go to these gun stores? They've detained, I don't know, 4 people in total. So where are 40 photos coming from?
So it could be from surveillance that they've recovered, right, from the stores, from the gas stations, from the residences. It could be tips. It could be information they got from the people that they detained, right? So people might be cooperating. It could be tips, right? So they could be also identifying people, like I said, that broke the pattern, and maybe they identify them like in their, perhaps they have like an electronic mugshot database. We have a thing called Photo Manager, and if we have an image, we can use facial rec to identify the people that were in our database that were arrested, right? So we're checking to see, are they still in prison? Have they been recently released? This could be where they got all these 40 photographs. So I'm assuming it's more focused, right? They're definitely targeting individuals that I hope they've identified, and that's why they narrowed down to 40. It sounds like a lot, but if you're getting thousands and thousands of tips and you're covering, you know, thousands and thousands of videos, you know, 40 is not a lot, and that's workable.
Here's another one from Newfoundland. Lola Marigold, love the name. Could his right hand be a prosthetic? Watch how he uses it while picking shrubbery at a door. I would have to think that they've looked into this, but it's all on the table right now. Greg, another thing that people are saying is they're surprised that at least some vehicle description hasn't gone out. Now, with that said, apparently they're working on that Range Rover that they pulled over the other night, where they said it was nothing, but apparently they're still looking at this Range Rover. Is it surprising to you that we're not on the lookout for some sort of vehicle at the very least?
Well, the FBI probably is, but we don't know. There's a lot that we don't know that's going on. They're not putting anything out there, really. Okay, they're keeping everything close, you know. I don't know if I mentioned this before. Maybe I did. I know they have an email, right, for them, okay, that you can't track, right?
An email for the perp? I don't think I've heard.
Two weeks ago, right? They had an email, but they couldn't track it.
I don't know. Mike, do you remember that? Was that Harvey Levin's email? No, I don't know. I don't think I've heard that, but let's go with it. Let's say that they did.
When this whole thing started, there was I don't know if it was an email or a website or something. They couldn't track it. I think it was an email. And even if you can't track it, it didn't come back. I mean, they tried to find out where it came from, you know, the IP address and stuff like that, and they couldn't get anything on it. And that happens a lot of times in an investigation. So my thing was, well, if you if you got that, why don't you just call it? It's like a phone, right? Maybe someone will answer, pick up, and you can start talking to somebody. Maybe one of the hostage takers, you know, one of the kidnappers or something. And maybe they started a dialogue through the internet with them. We don't know. They're not. We're guessing every day with what the FBI is doing. You know?
Yeah. Now, apparently, yeah, and don't yell at me, but Vinny Politan on Court TV is saying no one has been excluded. Meanwhile, the sheriff's saying the family's been excluded. The cluster continues. Logan, let me go to you. The other big thing that people keep coming back to, circling back, is this timeline of 41 minutes in the house. I know you thought about it. What are your latest thoughts as to why the perp or perp spent that amount of time? I mean, you heard Greg Giovanni talking about how if you're a burglar, you want to sneak in and sneak out. Did something go terribly wrong in there during that 41-minute period? Looks like Logan. Logan, that's for you. Yeah. Did you get that, Logan? That 41-minute window.
Yeah, 41 minutes inside there. Maybe that's why they brought the tarp. Now, I had heard in the very beginning, I think the first show that I was on, somebody had said that the back wide open. Now, I don't know that I haven't heard that again, but I thought that was really strange. But 41 minutes inside there could be the difficulty of getting her secured to be able to take her out of the house. I mean, she couldn't walk more than, 50, 75 yards, if that. So they very well might have gone in there to get her and didn't realize how difficult it was going to be, that she really couldn't move that well and everything. And they spent a lot of time in there securing her. That's the only thing I can think of. Nobody said anything about robbery, that anything has been taken, anything of value has been taken out of the house. I haven't heard anybody. Have you?
No, apparently nothing of value. The only thing that's really gone are her eyeglasses, which obviously she needs to read or see.
Well, I wonder if it was a red herring. I wonder if the back door, if it was left wide open. I know the blood was in the front, but maybe it was some kind of a red herring. Bad guys are known for leaving red herrings. To switch somebody off of something.
It could be, if I could interject, it could be that perhaps Nancy, who they say is very sharp, might have recognized this person or was able to identify, and then they didn't count on that. And now they said, Christ, she knows us. Now we have to take her, right?
Yeah.
I've heard that theory bounced around too.
Yeah, Mike, what about this? And I hate to throw it your way, from Carlotta. Is anyone on the panel, great guest, by the way, I told you we've got the best guest in true crime, and it is not a tagline. Don't fire me up on my last night here. It is our reality. Best guest in all of true crime, better community. Is anyone on the panel seriously thinking Nancy is still alive? I mean, Mike, do you think she's with us?
You know, with her heart condition and her age and stress that I'm sure that's been inflicted on her. I mean, I hope she's alive, but it's not likely. I don't want to make predictions, but it's a sad reality. And as an investigator, you always have to, you have to remove yourself emotionally. But I would guess that most of our, I would speculate that most of our guests think that Nancy's no longer with us.
Greg, you agree she's not with us anymore? What do you think?
I guess it's fair to say I'm a pretty high stress guy because I worry about absolutely everything, including this very ad that I'm reading right now, and whether or not you can believe me and go out and buy this amazing product. But there's a company that ships federally legal THC right to your doorstep. And man, they are discreet. And yes, I'm talking about mood.com. And among their gummies, two of them are my favorite. Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies does exactly that. When you're up and you're tossing and turning at night, you take a Sleepy Time gummy, boom, you are out cold. And then next, COE, Carm, sorry, but it's true. Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies, they help in the bedroom. They help a lot. But if you're not into gummies, there are other options. You've got flour, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and yes, even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news,
THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. And best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
Thank
you. Well, if the kidnappers, you know, skip town because they know they're not getting no money, right? Mm-hmm. And they had her, and they're not going to, obviously, they don't want to get in trouble. They're going to just flee. If she was alive, maybe she would, you know, go out, get out, and she'd be on the street somewhere looking for help. Do I think she's alive? I'm not going to rule it out. Maybe there's a slight possibility. You know, I'm optimistic. I know everybody's thinking that this time she's probably not. Anything's possible, you know?
Yeah. You want to weigh in there, Logan?
Yeah. I think the only way, I don't want to be a downer. I think right. The only way that she would be alive is if they pre-planned this to have the medicines that she needs, which would be the person through the person who turned them on to this whole thing. I don't think that they did that. They would have supplied proof of life. They would have gotten their $6 million. I mean, this was a done deal. Savannah was ready to pay the $6 million. It's boom. All they had to do was just show proof of life. That unfortunately tells me that something went wrong that they didn't expect, and they couldn't show proof of life, which led me to, okay, well, now what are we going to do for a booby prize? Well, they're going to still want to know where the body is. So instead of $6 million, give me $1 million and I'll tell you where the body is. And I hope to God that's not true. I hope she's still alive. But the odds, the numbers, the odds of her being alive are extremely slim unless she has medical, some type of medical. When they kidnapped Casey Kasem, they got a nurse. I mean, I did that case.
Wow.
For a year and a half. They brought it. They had a Filipino nurse with them.
Wow.
And he had a feeding tube in his stomach. She kidnapped him. His wife kidnapped him at 2 o'clock in the morning from the hospice. And they said, you can't take him. This will kill him. He's got a feeding tube in his stomach hooked up to a machine. She faced him, said, oh, I'll take the machine too. So she kidnapped him with the machine, with the feeding tube, put him into an SUV with a Filipino nurse. Her and her daughter got in another SUV. They drove on a cross-country road trip because he wasn't dying fast enough. She wanted his $80 million fortune. And in that drive, the feeding machine ran out of food. So what did Jean do? She did the smart thing. She stopped by a CVS and bought a bunch of Ensure. And she poured Ensure into the feeding machine and broke it.
What a crazy... Again, Logan, it brings me back full circle. I'm doing a whole show on you at some point. But Downtown Annie here, happy birthday. Today is our eldest daughter's 33rd birthday. Happy birthday. Gift of 33 to spend in Iceland. How kind. Thank you very much. By the way, if I'm halfway okay while we're there, I'll be posting on Instagram at Surviving the Survivor and putting out show times, maybe not while I'm there, at Podcast STS on X. Give us a follow there. I can't follow this math at this point, but Miss J Vibes, this is worthy of a read. In the house could be 16 minutes, not 41. Ward 147, the doorbell camera disconnects. 212, software detects a person. 228, pacemaker disconnects. 212 to 228 equals 16 minutes. I doubt he gets in the front door. So, that is some good timeline work there. And I'm sure the FBI and PM has got to be all over that. Brianna, a long time STS are here. The window of opportunity to commit this crime is rather narrow. Who would have the intel? Mike, who would have the intel to pull it off? And let me caveat by saying, right on cue, I think Greg mentioned a landscaper. Well, who else but TMZ reporting that a landscaper
was at the home today. The other day we've had Domino's delivery guys, the pool cleaner, and today a landscaper. Let's hope it's not the guy who did this, Mr. Landscaper Man, whoever you are. But
how many times did she get, she's 84 years old. How many times did she have Uber Eats delivered to her house? Somebody had to have asked that question. How many times would Uber Eats come and deliver? Some people do it all the time.
Yeah. I mean, my mother never does because it's not an older person thing to do, but I don't know. Mike, now I forgot the question. I was sorry. No, but I mean, Mike, what about the fact that the landscaper is there today? I hope they've ruled out the landscaper.
I would think so. I mean, nothing will surprise me since they've closed and opened the crime scene. So, yeah, it's like just a parade of service people coming into this residence. I'm guessing the crime scene's processed and there's nothing else there to collect, and they're working with what they've gathered.
Yeah, and Mike, what about this? And then I'll go back to Greg, and then we'll get some final thoughts in a minute or two. If you guys have some final questions, put in the triple Q. Why haven't we seen the FBI release color-enhanced images yet? Mike, I'm curious about that. I mean, do you guys do that at the NYPD? Do you alter the images at all to give people a different... Yeah?
Yeah, I'm sure we had that ability with our sketch artist unit or computer crimes. I haven't seen the FBI do it, but I've seen everyone else do it. Everyone else is putting different images. So I guess it's just they're just working what they have because, you know, with this that color camera, it's hard to really depict or predict what the color of the glove is. I saw one glove was that they re-imaged was brown, and now they're saying it's black. So,
yeah, it's tough to tell. But I know, like, when they colorized it, you see a lot of different things. So yeah. I'm just wondering if that's, like, a tactic. But Mom of Three here, another theory. What if it was just random theft, but Nancy says to them, my daughter's famous, she's a Today Show host, don't hurt me, she'll give you money, and the whole situation changed in their minds to then kidnap her for big money? I mean, yeah, that's a possibility. Someone else, thank you to Judy Herbert, very generous, appreciate that. But Greg, I have a feeling you don't know much about this, not that, you know, you just because you're not necessarily a tech guy, but someone was asking about iris scanners, like if they could take that Nest camera footage and run the pupils, you know, like you do with Clear at the airport. Is that a possibility? Is that something the FBI is doing?
You know, they have so many resources, this the FBI, okay? I would imagine that they are looking into every aspect, okay? What is that? That's retina identification, I think it is. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I get. I mean, you would know better than me. Mike, are you familiar with that, Mike? Retinal or iris scanners?
Yeah, retina ID, yeah.
I know Madison Square Garden's got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that.
The flashlight he had in his mouth would throw that off.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, totally. If the flashlight he's got in his mouth. Originally, when I first saw that glare, I thought that the guy had either gold or silver braces, which is a gang sign. They do that. They have the braces put in. And then I realized it was a flashlight. But that glare would throw the iris off, I guarantee you.
Mm. This is just a mess of all messes right now. Now, I'll caveat that by saying, if you remember Brian Koberger, may his name live in infamy. Everyone was freaking out, and it was 7 weeks, and they seemed to know exactly who they were looking for. And here, they're apparently ruling out family, so it seems like they at least know it's not family, which is good news. But Logan, let's go to you. Logan's a private investigator. He knew Bobby Duvall, we're learning today. He worked on the Casey Kasem case, we're learning today. The guy is the international man of mystery here. Logan, what is the investigative posture now? What do you do if you're sitting around in that room with the FBI and the detectives from the Pima County Sheriff's Department? They got to be exhausted. I mean, how are they keeping their heads straight, and how are they moving forward right now?
They're probably all working different angles. I would be, like I said on another show, I'd be working on relationships. The relationships, whether it be the pool man, you know, the landscaper, other people that are coming. I'm sure that they've done this and they're following these leads out. But I would be looking at relationships because it's so screwed up, that it's so non-professional that you're just not gonna, it's not gonna fit any normal pattern. I would be looking at somebody like a pool man who told, hey, I do this pool for this person, and you know, she's the mother of so-and-so, and be a great idea to do this. And he'd get his guys that he knows. People get caught by going and looking for a real hitman, you know, to go do some, a real person to kidnap, a real professional. On the way to that real professional, they get caught because somebody pretends to be, a cop comes in and pretends to be that real professional. This seems to me like it went from dumb to dumber.
Yeah.
You know, Happy and Pee-wee.
Yeah, I agree with you for sure. Someone said if they knew her, wouldn't they have, if the person knew her, wouldn't they know she had ring cameras and brought tools? This is what Brian Enton tweeted out just an hour ago. FBI agents have been to several gun stores in Tucson with a list of 40 people in their photos, looking to see if any of them in the store. Greg Giovanni, retired NYPD detective and a former hostage negotiator. Someone was asking Greg, do you think those 40 photos, which again is a lot, do you think they're taking them off of Walmart surveillance? In other words, they went to Walmart, said these are the, you know, 40 people who bought a gun or a holster, a backpack or whatever that looks like is in this Nest Cam. Let's see if any of them also bought a gun at the store. Is that a good idea where that 40 the 40 number comes from for the number of photos?
Yeah, sure. I would go with that, as well as another 10 or 12 people that are pool boys and landscapers and all those other guys. You know, they're showing those photos too. So yeah, any surveillance photos in Walmart around, I guess, the time that these purchases were made, you know, definitely.
Greg, just your final thoughts here. By the way, let me read this comment to you from Joel and Turk. The clothing the perp wore that night is expensive, save for the backpack and balaclava. I believe he's in the red pill community, under age 40. I have no idea, involved in 764. I have no idea what any of this means. But I mean, Greg, to you, the broader question is, your former compatriot, David Sarney, said you got to do a perpology eventually. I mean, when does that happen?
Oh. Well, a perpology would be sort of kind of winging it, you know, with whatever information we have, like a profile.
B-A-U.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no. That you talk about the guy at the door, right?
Yeah, the guy at the door. Yep.
You know, what's to say? I mean, you got to check all the Walmarts, right? You got to, because the bag, Walmart sold that bag, but maybe he bought it online. I don't know. Okay. And then we think he's left-handed. Well, you know what? Maybe, because that gun you saw, that butt was facing to his left side of his body, the butt of the gun. That holster looked like a kid's holster. Like he took that, like he didn't have a holster for that gun, and he took his kid's holster that was in the toy box or something, just to use, you know? But, you know, you got to check Walmart, because you know Walmart sold that stuff. You got to go to the stores and check their videos. But like I said, they may have put that stuff online as well. And I'm sure that's being checked out too. I mean, there's so many damn leads to go to try and fill here. It's going to take a long time.
Yeah, I think too long right now. Yeah. 12 Doodlebug, thanks to Greg Giovanni. With burglary gone bad, what about the cases where people break in and abduct the victim for things like an ATM trip or sick, nefarious reasons, you know, like maybe
essay, a sex assault. But I mean, Mike, if they took her to an ATM, we would know that by now. You've got to think that they've checked every ATM within a 10 mile radius at that time. Right, Mike? Tell me that they've done that.
Yeah, I think if they took her, it's because it's what we suspect, that it is an abduction, or she knows them and they panicked. I think that's the only reason why they would abduct her.
And Mike, I mean, from an investigative standpoint, what is the posture now? I mean, what, again, like, people are tired. The public is tired, which is the least of anyone's worries. The detectives are tired. The FBI agents are tired. What are they doing behind closed doors right now to just keep forward momentum here?
Yeah, they're just following up every lead, every photograph, every video they recovered, any surveillance that they have. They're canvassing stores. They're going to pawn shops, anything where you can buy a gun, where you can buy the clothes. You know, they're trying to identify that. So I know it seems like a long time, but only because we're watching it every day. Right. Cases take a long time. And, you know, I make fun of the sheriff a little bit, but I'm sure his men and women are doing a good job and following up on it. I know they're not getting sleep because this is weighing on everybody's mind. It's a high profile case. So I know they're performing the job to the best of their ability. So hopefully we have a resolution very soon.
I appreciate that. That's a great way to end the show tonight. That's Mike Alcazar of the NYPD, retired hostage negotiator. And it's true. I mean, everyone's watching this with a magnifying glass. So, you know, it seems painstakingly slow. I have no doubt they're going to break this case. It's going to take time. It'll probably happen tomorrow, not during my layover. Allison Hargroves. Scene timeline from media sheriff 147 doorbell camera disconnected. Sheriff said 12 of the camera software detected person on camera, but no videos available. The sheriff said pacemaker app disconnected from her phone. Thank you for that. Yeah. The timeline is a big part of this and they've got to be working on that timeline. Again, you can follow me on Insta at Surviving Survivor, Twitter or X at Podcast STS for updated show times. We're going to have people on standby. I know no one's thinking about this yet either, but we're going to be covering the Corey Richens trial. She's on trial starting next week, accused of poisoning her husband with 5 times the lethal dose of fentanyl. And Prof Joe Explains will be handling that for us till we get back. And Tim Jansen will pop in with breaking news. And who knows, you might see me from across, almost across the pond, sort of across the pond. Another great live. Thanks to all of you. We do have the best guests and a better community. Love you, America. Love you, California. Love you, New York. New York, the NYPD, baby. I am proud to always invoke that name. The biggest and the best police department in the entire world. No question about it. I was working in New York on 9/11. I know these guys were, too. And that city from that day on will never be the same. But God bless the NYPD. And love you, Tucson. And let's bring home Nancy Guthrie. Thank you, everybody. See you soon. Be safe. Stay kind. Don't kill anyone.